It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
One of the things that we see in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9 is that God is no respecter of persons. We're all human beings, and God sees us for what we are and who we are. Therefore, he says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to a saving knowledge, in other words, of Jesus Christ. Well, God is no respecter of persons when it comes to Christians. And in other words, he sees us all the same. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. But Paul, in his writings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, continues on in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 by saying, "Finally, my brethren." Now, Paul's getting ready to end what he's been talking about in so many areas of the book of Ephesians. But he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." See, although there are 14 verses left in the epistle of Ephesians, Paul starts this verse by saying, "Finally, my brethren." Well, it's as if Paul is saying, I've shared many things with you, but I'm not quite finished. See, I believe Paul is reminding those in the church at Ephesus that he is the one, that he's one of them. Not that he is present with them at the time, but that he considers them brethren, fellow Christians, fellow soldiers in the army of God. He says, "Finally, my brethren." You see, Paul knew that all of us who name the name of Jesus are one in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul's ending this epistle, he says, "My brethren." Well, Paul has given the church at Ephesus and us much to think about in this epistle. He's offered instruction about Christian living, relationships between husbands, wives, and children, instruction to those in authority, and to those who are under the authority of others. See, there's much more that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has shared, but he's not finished. Paul gives a word of encouragement in verse 10 of the chapter that we're looking at now, chapter 6, when we hear him say, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The Christian, above all people, needs persistence and a daring courage. If the Christian is overwhelmed with fear, then he will possibly allow the cares of this world to overtake him. And we're seeing a lot of that around us today. That is the cares of this world. Higher interest rates, grocery shelves in some places empty. And we see the prices of everything going up. Well, sometimes people let the cares of this world overtake them. You see, if the Christian is discouraged with just the implication of danger, how will he react when true danger comes along? You see, cowards are not winners. So therefore, we need to stay strong in the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" See, many saved people start ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. But after a while, I suppose they run out of water. Starting well does not mean ending well. Well, I do not mean a saved person who starts well and does not have a good testimony at the end of life will be lost, but that person has simply thrown in the towel. Those persons who do not finish the race have become cowards for God in the face of opposition, rather than winners of the race. See, it makes little difference whether defeat has come from without or from within. It is still defeat when the race is given up because of not depending on the mighty power of God. to make it to the finish line. We need to keep 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14 ever before us. 1 Corinthians 9:14, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Run to win. Don't run just to be running, but run to win. Do the job to win, not to come in second, not to come in third, but to come in first place. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. See, we have the witness, the testimony of others who have run the race and finished the course. We're told about some of these people in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, some people translate this verse into saying that these are angels, that we're compassed about with angels who are watching us, and they're watching that, seeing what we're doing. Now, I believe that angels do watch us. I believe they see what we're doing. But some would have you to believe that these are the witnesses that are standing about or watching about. I believe it's those witnesses that we've read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Those people to whom we say are in the Faith Hall of Fame, those people who have been in the past, who have run the race, they've kept the patience of the Lord. They've done what God wanted them to do. They are the witnesses whom we are to look up to. They are our witnesses that they have not quit the race. They did not quit the race. They stayed in until their race was finished. Well, some of them didn't even see the promises of God come to pass in their lives, but they kept on running. They kept on staying in the race. You and I, when we pray, when we run the race, we may not see the end of the race, in the sense that we may not see the success that we were looking for, but that success comes one way or the other, even after we're gone. But we need to keep running that race, that we are serving God in spirit and in truth, and we're running the race with those witnesses, the witness that they have left behind, telling us that we are to keep on keeping on, no matter if we do not see the success we think that we are to see. But thank God, He sees everything, and He's the one. He is the one that decides the greatness of the race, the great end of the race. And one day we're going to stand before our Savior at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive reward or suffer loss. Now, I don't think we're going to suffer in that sense. We're going to be happy. That means that there's things that we could have gotten, those crowns that we could have gotten that we won't get. But thank God, there's going to be crowns given out, and we will rejoice. Well, think of it this way. Even if there are no crowns, we're with our Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who looks at us and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that's said especially to those people who do not quit, those people who do not throw in the towel. You see, just before Paul the Apostle was beheaded, just before he finished his race, he had this testimony, 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul the Apostle did not give up. He did not give up, although he was put under many pressures of life. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. All these things happened to Paul the Apostle, but he says this, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I didn't quit. I've kept the faith. He says, I didn't give up. I followed the Lord all the way. And when we think of that, being in the race, as we run the race, we need to see the Lord in front of us. And we need to run towards Him. Keep running until we get to the finish line. Now, many have gone to the finish line that we have been acquainted with in our lives. I'm sure you've met some people that possibly have been great influences in the things that you do. You've seen these people, and they've helped you along the way. You've looked up to these individuals. Well, their race is finished. They've gone on to be with the Lord. And as we think of those individuals who have been instrumental in our Christian life, when I say instrumental, I mean encouragers. I mean those people who have told us to keep on keeping on, to keep in the race, to run the race with patience. Those people who have gone on before. We have, in a sense, replaced those individuals now. And they're individuals who look up to us as people who are keeping on, keeping on. Looking up to us, they look to us and they say, there's people who have not quit. They're keeping on, keeping on, and I want to be like that. I want to be like that because they are following Christ to the finish line. And I pray that you are following Christ to the finish line and you are serving Him daily. Wherever you're at, whatever you have to do, you need to do it for the Lord. But where does the Christian strength really come from? I believe the strength of every Christian is not really his strength, but it is the Lord's strength that takes us to the finish line. If we take the strength He offers, we're going to read more about that as we go through this chapter about what He offers. The strength of all saints lies in the Lord of hosts, and therefore it ought to be the Christian's great care in all difficulties and dangers to strengthen his faith in the almighty power of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Success in our everyday Christian life comes when we place our confidence in the Lord fully. As the Lord aids us by His mighty power, there is nothing we can't accomplish for Him. May we say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. May we stay in the race and do the job that God has given us as individuals. Your job is possibly different than my job for the Lord. The Lord has given each of us something that we can do personally, that we can serve Him the way He wants us as an individual to serve Him. And we need to say, as Paul the Apostle did, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Have you ever thought and felt like, and maybe you said, I just don't know how I'm going to keep on. I just don't know how I'm going to continue. Things are so bad, or something's going on maybe in your life, and you just have that attitude, I just don't know what I'm going to do. We need to get back to the Word of God. And once again, say as Paul the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's the one who gives us the strength to keep on keeping on. Look to the Lord. And thank God. I don't believe we're going to have to look much longer as the saved people in this church age, because He's coming for us in the rapture of the church when He says, come up hither, and we'll be forever with Him in glory.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.